Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, we'll start reading at verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, I ask you to bless us and be with us here this morning, Lord, and that you'd have your way in our lives and you'd speak to us, Lord, and we know that you've promised to be here. We ask you to make your presence known, that you'd be here strong in every heart and in the words that your word has given to us, that these truths, Lord, that are so strong and so powerful, Lord, I ask you to make them right and take them to each heart. I ask you to bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Notice in that last verse that I read, verse 26, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Notice the contrast first, that God might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Notice that those are two different things, that God be just and that God also be the justifier. You know, justify is a word. Perhaps it has many meanings, I'm not sure, but in the way that the Bible uses this word, justify, it is to make someone who is unrighteous, making them righteous. That's what the Bible means when he says God is the justifier. Taking an unrighteous person and making them righteous. Yeah. Imputing righteousness to them. Not just implying that they're righteous, but imputing righteousness to them. And making them righteous. That's the word justify. It's used in the Bible a lot. It's not used in that sense very often outside of the Bible. In fact, most religious people don't have a clue what the word justification means. I've talked to devout Catholics who have read the Bible, and they don't have a clue what that word means. They just, if you ask them, they say, I just don't know. What does that mean? I've talked to Jehovah's Witnesses that knocked on my door. They're zealous enough to come to my door and knock on my door, and they're going to tell me about the Bible, and I'll just ask them, what does that word mean? Don't know. What does that mean? And you know the reason why they don't understand that word is because they don't have a clue about salvation. They don't know what it means to be saved. They don't know what it means to be justified, to be not just declared righteous, but made righteous. You realize that a righteous person cannot be justified. You have to be a sinner. You can be just, but not justified. Because justified, you have to start off not just. There's nothing to justify if you're already just. So, salvation is only for sinners. No good people can be saved. No good people can be justified. God wants to be just and the justifier of them that believe. Notice that contrast, just and the justifier, because there is such a difference. You do realize that it is God's purpose to be just. Have you ever stopped to think about what God's purposes are? Why did he create the universe? I'm sorry, what?
For his pleasure.
Yeah, I'm sure that's it. But he says over there, he says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The glory of God. God wants his glory displayed. He wants all of his attributes displayed. He wants you to know who he is and what he's about. He wants everything displayed, and that is why he created the universe. That is why he did all of these things in order to bring it about so that we could see him in his glory. We would know who he is, what he's like. We know how powerful God is. We know how immense he is. We know how old he is just by looking at the universe. You just stare out in space and you say, wow, this is somebody a whole lot bigger than this created this. Yeah. I've actually talked to some people who were just bubble-headed enough to think that they had a leg to stand on saying they didn't believe in God. What? What are you talking about? I mean, you're not even close. You're not even close. You're not even in the equation. You're not even trying. You don't have to wonder whether there is a God or not. Just open your eyes. There is a God. You say, yeah, but we don't know anything about God. I'm agnostic. You're agnostic. Okay, so you're agnostic. You don't know anything about God. Well, how about this? The Bible says, he who planted the ear, can he hear? Yeah. Whoever planted the ear ought to be able to hear, right? Somebody invented the ear. Whoever invented the ear, you're not going to tell me he can't hear. Well, how about the mouth? You're going to tell me whoever invented the mouth to be able to communicate, he can't speak? Let me tell you something. You know an awful lot about God if you just open your eyes.
Amen.
If you just open your eyes, you know a whole lot about God. You don't even have to read the Bible to know a whole lot about God. Oh, yeah, God exists. And you know something? God is not going to debate with you. You say, well, I don't believe God exists. He'll say, okay. It's your funeral.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, serious. You do anything you want to do. You live however you want to do. God will not debate with you. God's not going to sit there and argue with you like as if you have some intelligence. The fact is, you have to submit to what God has revealed.
Amen.
And he's revealed himself in a whole lot of ways. God is waiting for you to submit. Now, here's what God says. He says, I want to be just and the justifier. I want to be both these things. Have you ever stopped to think that the gospel begins with the righteousness of God? It begins with the righteousness of God. Too many times we get that thing inverted because we think it begins with the love of God or the mercy of God. And remember, his glory includes all of that. We want to know, he wants to declare all of who he is. He wants you to know how merciful he is. He wants you to know how powerful he is. He wants you to know how much he loves. He wants you to know how much he hates. He wants you to know how righteous he is. He wants you to know all of it. It's all important to him. It's his glory. So here we have God explaining his dilemma. He wants to be just and the justifier of them which believe. Now you understand the problem here. Because to be just, you can't justify the wicked. Now, if you're just, you can't justify the wicked. Isn't that what the Bible says in the law? Didn't God tell Moses to write that down in the law? He said that these judges would have to justify the innocent. They would have to declare righteous the innocent and condemn the wicked. And God hates it when people don't do that. So here we have a judge that goes around just saying, I'm just too nice to condemn anybody, and just lets them go. You stole? That's okay. We forgive around here. You murdered? That's okay. Go do it again. No. What kind of a judge would do that? A wicked judge. A useless judge, worse than useless. If a judge turns away, sets loose a criminal, and he goes out and does the same thing again, the judge becomes the problem. The judge becomes guilty. Isn't that true? So you see the dilemma. This is the problem. God is just. God is righteous. And as a judge, he has to be just. He has to be righteous. He has to judge righteously. And the righteous judge has to condemn sin. Has to. Needs to. Wants to. It's part of his nature. He's a just God. A just judge. And he has to condemn the wrong. Otherwise, where would we all be? If God never stood up and said, I'm not putting up with that. If he never condemned the wicked. If he never stood up and said, I'm going to stop this nonsense. Where would we be? This is an incredible thing that we have a God who says, I want to be just, but I also want to be the justifier.
Amen.
Wow. This is a tremendous contrast. God has to be just. This is his nature. You know, the Bible says God is light and in him is no darkness at all. I got a kick out of a little contradiction. You know, ever so often somebody bring up a contradiction. Well, there's a contradiction in the Bible. He says, Bible says God dwells in the thick darkness. And over in this other place, God dwells in light that nobody can approach unto. And that sounds like a contradiction. God dwells in thick darkness, or God dwells in light that nobody can approach to. Which is it? Well, you have to understand, God is the source of the light that nobody can approach unto. And if you're the source, you can be right smack in the middle of thick darkness and still be in light that nobody can approach unto. He's the source. There's no other light around him. He's dwelling in thick darkness. And yet, let me tell you something. God is light. God is righteous. God loves righteousness. God loves good. And yet he wants to be the justifier of him which believes in Jesus. The justifier of the wicked. The justifier of the sinner. How can this be? God wants to be just. He says that he might be. That he might be just. And the justifier of him which believes in Jesus. He wants to be seen as just. He is just. You're not going to change who God is. You can argue with him. You can say, God, I just don't believe it's wrong to fornicate. Tell that to all the single mothers. Tell that to all those little babies that are dead out there. Yeah, tell that to them. It's just not wrong. I mean, we just love each other. Are you so stupid that you confuse sex and love? How can you be that stupid? Maybe you're just trying to justify yourself. Maybe you're arguing all for yourself. Maybe all you are is a selfish little brat. Then you can't think of the way God thinks. God wants to be just and the justifier of him which believe in Jesus. When he says he wants to be just, he wants to be seen just. He wants everybody to see him, that he was just. He wants it when it comes down to that day, every mouth will be stopped. And all the world will become guilty before God. God wants to be seen as just. What he is doing, what he is aiming at, is to be seen as just. You know what? I have heard the gospel preached in such a way that God just doesn't seem just to me. In fact, I've heard the gospel preached, if you can call it the gospel, in such a way that what God declares plainly in the Bible, it is declared to make God out as unjust. Whatever God said. I've had people come to my house and tell me that God could not possibly put someone in hell. God's just not that kind of a person. He would never burn anybody. But the Bible says he's going to do that.
Amen.
Well, you know, I can understand if you don't accept that, if you don't believe, that's fine. What are you doing carrying around a Bible with you?
Amen.
Just leave the Bible at home.
Right.
Write your own book.
Right.
He wants to be seen just. You know, the Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches.
Yeah.
Your reputation is important. God's reputation is important to him. God wants you to know he did right. You know, one of the interesting things about Jesus when he talked about that man who went to hell, he said this man went to hell, opened up his eyes, lifted up his eyes, and he looked around. You know what's interesting? Is that man didn't complain. He didn't say, this is not fair. Isn't that what everybody says nowadays?
Yeah.
This ain't fair. I don't know how many times I've heard that, but that doesn't sound fair. That doesn't sound just. But boy, when he opened up his eyes in hell, he didn't say that. He said, have mercy. Somebody have mercy on me. Somebody give me just a drop of water. No argument with God, because God has intended it that way. He's going to make it clear. He wants to be seen just. He wants to be declared just. You're going to stand up and preach the gospel and not declare God just? God righteous? God's doing the right thing? You're going to make excuses for hell? I got to say, we used to show films. There was a film called The Burning Hell. Good film. Tells what the Bible says about hell. Makes it a nice scary spot. And the preachers were preaching right out of the Bible, doing right. Everything was right. We showed it. I would still show it today. But I began to have a problem with that. Well, I saw it, I don't know how many hundreds of times, because we'd watch it, and we'd watch it, and then we'd preach, and then we'd watch it again, and then we'd preach, and then we'd watch it again, and then we'd preach. And we got, you know, you get to the point where you notice every little detail about that film. You know whether he's tied his tie the same way in that scene or in the other scene. You know everything about the film. Well, I started to have a problem with that film, and that's that everybody who showed up in hell was horrible. Oh, they were horribly wicked. I mean, they would just detail just how bad these people were, and then whoop, they're in hell. See how bad they are. And you know what? I got to realizing that most people don't consider themselves that horrible. And in a sense, they were justifying hell. They were saying, see how bad these people are, so really it's okay for them to go to hell. And that's what most people would say. Sure, anybody that bad deserves to go to hell. Have you ever stopped to think that the very way you are, those little trivial sins that you commit, are worthy of hell? You know, that's why they invented purgatory in the first place, because they just could not believe that what I've done is worthy of hell. So we got to invent some place that's not quite as bad as hell. So, because I'm definitely not worthy of heaven. But worthy of hell, come on. And so you come up with a place in between, even though it's not found in the Bible. And it's not found in the Bible. The Bible didn't mention purgatory. And if you're banking on purgatory to cleanse your sins, boy, you got the wrong bank. You're in trouble. There's no purgatory. There's only hell. And the Bible says your sins deserve hell. God wants to be declared just. Let me tell you something. God is just. And when he takes you and shows you your sin and then throws you in hell, he will be just. And he will be declared just. Everyone will say amen. That's correct. What God did is right. There's nobody in hell arguing about whether they deserve to be there. They all know. They know because God will be declared just. All the world will become guilty before God. You say, well, I just don't believe God could possibly do that. Well, then I'd say you're living in your own little sentiments, your own little feelings world, because you don't want to look at things critically and say, God, you teach me. You tell me what the reality is here. It's time for you to start looking at things from God's point of view. God says, I will be just. The beginning of the gospel is that we declare his righteousness. You look in the places where the gospel is preached, in the book of Acts or in other places, and see if they don't begin with his righteousness. See if the first word that comes out of their mouth isn't repent. They declare the righteousness of God, righteous in his demand. Was not God righteous to demand whatever he wanted to of Adam and Eve? Couldn't he not demand of them that they walk on all fours like all the other animals? And would have they had any room to complain if God had them walking on all fours? No, but he says, here's the rules. He was righteous in his demands. Tell me that the Ten Commandments are not righteous demands. Not only righteous demands, but eminently reasonable demands. Amen. Just one God. Can't have any more gods. Don't bow down to any images. Isn't that a reasonable demand? Sure it is. Don't take the name of the Lord God in vain. Amen. Don't talk about God lightly. Right? Sanctify the seventh day. Give me one day. Yeah. I'll give you six. Wouldn't have he been righteous to demand six and give you one?
Yeah.
But he gave you six. He just wants one. God is eminently reasonable and righteous in all of his demands. If he says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, righteous. God has the right to demand that you be not drunk with wine.
Amen.
He has the right. He's righteous in his outrage. Have you ever thought about God angry? The Bible says he's angry. You ever heard the phrase, the wrath of God? Wrath of God? God is angry. Is he righteous in his anger? Is God righteous to be outraged? You know, over there when he says, and a little bit earlier on in this same verse, he says, I better read it in the same chapter, chapter 3, verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Could not God look down on the earth and say, all right, I'm looking for someone righteous. And he goes over every single case, every case, and not one righteous. Would that make you mad? Boy, that would make me mad. You mean to tell me not one? I give the rules, and not one is righteous. No, not one. Nobody. Nobody cares. Nobody seeks. Nobody says, teach me, Lord, teach me. Show me how to go the right way. He says, there is none that seeketh after God.
Right.
Not one that seeketh after me. Not one that's looking for me. They're all gone out of the way. They're actually going out of the way. They're actually expending effort to get away from me. Yeah, God is righteous in his outrage. God has absolutely every right to be angry with this world. To say, I am the victim of your sins. You have discredited me. You have spat on my name. You have trodden underfoot the Spirit of grace. You have done everything possible. How many times did he say this? Something of that nature? Like he says, what more could have I done with my vineyard? What more could have I done? Outrage, frustration. Have you ever been frustrated? Frustrated enough to get angry? Boy, I have. I get that way just about every day. I'm not recommending that as a habit, but I'm just confessing my own sins. God is righteous in his outrage. God is righteous in his punishment. When he punishes, he's righteous. You ever heard somebody say, well, I just don't know why God does this to me. Boy, you don't have a clue yet. You don't have a clue. You just don't understand. What he's doing to you now is mercy. I had a lady come up to me and she said, you know, my boyfriend left me. There you go. I lost my job. Now I'm going to the doctor and I've got this problem with my health. I can't get off the bottle. She told me like five or six things. And then she says, and I just don't know why God is so upset with me. So, well, first of all, you're living with a man that you're not married to. Isn't that a good reason?
Yeah.
You're drinking. Isn't that a good reason?
Yeah.
All of the things that she had mentioned, I'm sitting there pointing out to her, what's wrong with you? Don't you realize that if you're sick or if you've got problems, God's just trying to get your attention? He hasn't squashed you yet. He's just giving you a chance. He's just in mercy trying to help you out. But someday the time is over. And God's going to say, I've done what I can. You say, well, an almighty God could have done more. No, you don't understand. God is declaring all of his glory. He could not have done more. And not show all of his attributes. He has to show his righteousness. He has to show his power. He has to show his long suffering and his mercy. He also has to show his wisdom, his intelligence. He has to show all of it. And what we believe and what is clearly spoken of in the Bible, that God is doing what he can for our good. And that what he's done is so much more than what any of us could have ever come up with. He's doing it for our maximum good. So that comes the day when he has to defend his own righteous name. His own reputation. He says, no more will I put up with your trash. I won't put up with your filthy mouth anymore. I won't put up with your denying my name anymore. You act like you created yourself. Who do you think you are? You can't see God like that? You see God like Santa Claus? God is righteous in redemption. He's righteous when he pays the debt. He's not like some of these priests that say, okay, I absolve you, repeat the Father, our Father 10 times and everything's okay. And nobody pays the debt. Father, forgive me for I have sinned. Oh, son, you shouldn't sin. What did you do? Well, Father, I stole $100 from my boss. Oh, son, you shouldn't do that. But I tell you what, I'll forgive you if you'll repeat the Our Father and several rosaries and who knows what else. You do that, I'll forgive you. Who's going to pay the $100? Somebody's got to pay. And if that priest isn't willing to pay, then he hadn't done the job. He wants to forgive it, well, go pay it. Go pay it with interest and then go ahead and go forgive it if you want. But if you're not going to pay it, then you can't be forgiven it. But not God. He paid the debt. He's not forgiving anything lightly. He paid the debt. He said, this is the debt. This is the payment. He paid the debt. And then he forgave. He's righteous even in the payment. Even in the redemption. God is just. And the justifier of him which believes in Jesus. Now consider justifier. God is the justifier of him which believes in Jesus. God is the justifier. He's going to take a wicked, old, rotten, fornicating dope head like you and say, I'm going to justify you. I'm going to make you righteous. He is the justifier of him which believes in Jesus. Wow. Didn't he say over there in one place that God will not remember your sins? Not remember? Is that in God's nature to not remember? Is this the same God we've been talking about, this all-knowing God, and he says, I won't remember? Can God forget? Is that possible? Let me tell you something, it's not in his nature. God's nature is just. He says, I am just. I am righteous. I am alone. He himself is saying, he himself has declared it. How many times that he is a righteous God? Upright. He is good. Everything he does is right and good. He is light and in him is no darkness. Tell me that it's in his nature just to overlook your sins. Just to say, it's okay. Go right ahead. Like some of your parents have taught you to think God might be like that. Because they haven't gotten angry over your sins enough to whip the daylights out of you. That's why the Bible says you ought to whip your children to make them fear God. You'll deliver their soul from hell. Because if you can't imagine God like that, you're going to go to hell. The truth is, and I'm telling you the truth here, I'm trying to get it across to you the best I can. God is the justifier, but tell me, in what world is that his nature? That he just says, it's okay. Wasn't it God who actually destroyed every living, breathing thing on the continents when he destroyed them in the flood? Tell me there were no kids this age drowning, saying, God, help me. And he let them drown. Tell me there were no old people. Yeah, they were old people. And if he wasn't going to have mercy on all those people, what about the poor little animals? There was a whole bunch of nice doggies that got drowned too. Little kittens. And if you can't feel sorry for those people just because they're so far away, I'll bet you could feel sorry for those little kittens. Little rabbits and all those little animals that got drowned also. But not a shred of mercy. Not a shred of mercy. Everything on the earth drowned. Everything. Everybody. Only ones who didn't drown got off the earth. They were inside that ark. Amen. They're the ones that didn't drown. Everybody else drowned. It's not in his nature. When he heard how wicked Sodom and Gomorrah was, he said, I'm going to go see. He went and saw. Fire and brimstone fell from the sky and wiped them all out. Let me tell you something. It's not in his need. He doesn't need you.
That's right.
He's fine without you.
That's right.
You ever heard the, you ever seen or thought about, you know, the idea of God just crying because people won't believe him? You don't find that in the Bible. God doesn't need you. He's not aching. He doesn't feel lost without you. He can make 100 more like you. Didn't John the Baptist say, "Oh, don't worry about you, children of Abraham, grow up. God can make Abraham's children right out of these stones."
That's right. Amen.
He was making it clear that they all know God doesn't need you. God's not lacking because you're not with him. In fact, God's got so many multitudes, I'm wondering where we're all going to fit. The truth is, God's got plenty, and God can make more. He's the justifier. You know, it's not in his obligation. God's not obligated. He doesn't owe you anything. I mean, everything you got's free. You say, "I worked hard for it." Oh, hogwash, you worked hard for it. There's very few Americans work hard anyway. That offend you? I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. Well, we have it easy. We got machines to do most of the work. It's not his obligation to forgive your sins. It's not his obligation to make sure you make it into heaven.
Right.
He owes you nothing.
Right.
You got nothing on him. What are you going to say? Well, I mean, of course, God's got to love us. I mean, because he made us and he's given you air to breathe, and that's been free.
That's right.
Giving you food to eat. You say, "No, but I planted it." Yeah, but he created it. If he hadn't created it, you couldn't have planted it. It wouldn't have grown. And if you don't believe that, create your own. Quit using what God made and start making your own. I wonder how long you'd last if you quit using what God made. God is not obligated. Let me tell you something else. It's not in his interest. He's not willing to save you because it's going to help him out. Like I say, he doesn't need you, but it's really not in his interest. I do not know in what world you think that God is better off having drunkards and rapists and murderers and thieves and liars justified, saved, forgiven, and brought into his kingdom. How is that better than having righteous, holy, powerful, bright angels or anything else he wants to create? How is that better? Why, just because we'll all be humbler? No, let me tell you, what motivates God is love. He's thinking about you. He's thinking about your welfare. He doesn't owe you, but for some inexplicable reason, he loves you. You think about the scope of this justification. God is the justifier of them which believe. Them which believe. Not the most righteous. You know that most religions live on this principle that God is going to save the most righteous. The best people. Wow. That is something. God's going to save the best. In other words, if you try hard, you might make it in. He's going to get the best out of all of us. The ones who do a little bit more than the others. As if this is some kind of a competition. We're all trying to beat out the next guy. And so you think that if you just get in above the 51 percentile mark, you got it made. Man, 51% won't even get you out of high school. It certainly ain't going to get you into heaven. All that believe. You telling me a murderer, if he believes? Yeah. An adulterer? That's incredible. That really is something. Let me tell you something. The righteousness of God is the beginning of the gospel and it's the end of the gospel. It is the objective of the gospel. It's the righteousness of God. He's not saving you just to leave you like you are.
That's right. Amen.
He's saving you to make you righteous. You know, you got to watch out. Mike mentioned it. You got to watch out for this liberty. Somebody talk about freedom. You know, we're free from the law. Oh, happy condition. That way we can do anything we want. You know, the Bible doesn't say you're free from righteousness. In fact, it says while you were a servant of sin, you were free from righteousness. But now you've been made a servant of righteousness. Amen. And you're free from sin.
That's right.
You understand that? Freedom, not to do anything you want. You're free from sin.
Amen.
You're free from condemnation. But you're not free from righteousness. Oh, God's got a plan for your life. You're not kidding. He's got a plan for your life. He's going to straighten you out. That's what God wants to do. It's the objective. God wants to save people. He wants to make them righteous. The purpose of the gospel is to make you righteous. You say, yeah, but I don't like that. I don't like, you know, it's just all that holiness and stuff. I don't like it. Well, you're really not going to like heaven. Especially if it's full of tools. You better like it. You telling me you don't want to be righteous? You would really rather rot in your sin. You'd really rather be so blooming selfish and only think about yourself. You'd really rather be so worldly, going from one gadget to the next. Covetous. You can't even tell when you're stealing. You're not even sure. You know, being righteous is a difficult thing. We're confused. I was just the other day, I wanted to get my air shocks on my minivan were going bad. They've been bad for a long time. So I looked on my receipt and it was said a 2-year warranty. And so I just threw this receipt away and said, whatever. So I went over to Old Riley's to buy another pair and I said, I need another pair of these. And they said, well, those used to be lifetime warranty. You sure? I said, no, I think they're 2-year warranty. I'm not real sure, you know, whatever. Well, they looked it up on the computer and they said, well, we see when you bought them and everything else, we'll give you a new pair. Oh, sure. He said, just take off the old ones, bring them in, we'll give you a new pair. Well, that's great. Super. Take them in there. And when they printed them out, it said 2-year warranty on there. I said, tell me, when did I buy these things? Got a date? Almost 3 years ago. Man, that's tough. I think I owe you. I think I ought to pay. No, it's all right. Don't worry about it. They used to be lifetime. Okay. So we're in Bill Miller's and one of the workers goes in there and I'm telling John, I said, you know, that doesn't seem right. I think I ought to pay them. And the guy says, oh, don't worry about it. He was one of the workers right there. Just don't worry about it. It's hard to be just. I honestly don't know. I think I ought to go back over there and leave him $60 under there, you know. I feel bad about that. I mean, I didn't pick them up and hide them under my jacket and walk out with them, but it's hard to be righteous. God wants to make us righteous. That is His purpose. That is His objective. I truly want to be like God.
Amen.
Look what He says here. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now consider this opportunity. God wants to be the justifier of him which believes in Jesus. Not just us. All over the world, the scope of this justification. Anybody, they could be idolaters. God will save them. He'll just forgive their sins, and He'll still be just when He does it. Because Jesus paid the price. He actually gave His life on the cross and paid the debt. So He'll be just and the justifier of him which believes in Jesus. You don't take advantage of that, you're the fool. You don't take advantage of God saying, I will be just and I will justify you. I will make you like me. Man, how could you pass up something like that? And then how could we pass up the opportunity to tell this to the whole wide world? To say to the most heathen out there, God will be just and He'll justify you. We're not taking anything away from God's righteousness. We're not preaching, God loves everybody, just come on, it's easy. We first declare God's righteousness. We first declare His law. We first declare that you have to confess your sins and say, God is righteous. God is right. I deserve what He says I deserve. And then you come and He'll take you and He will make you righteous, just like Him. That God even can do that, that's amazing. That God would do it, that's even more amazing. To declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believes in Jesus. That's all he requires. Believe in Jesus. You just take Jesus Christ as your Savior, and that's all he requires. God says, I'm declaring my righteousness. We declare his righteousness. God says, I'll be just, and I'll be the justifier of whoever believes in Jesus. That's what the Lord says.